Ezekiel chapter 16. I was studying actually some end time prophecy, and I came across these verses, and kind of going along with me wanting you just to see God and not me, but to let you know I'm one of His. And listen, you may not know me here today, and I may not know you, but if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we have something in common today. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 16. If you can, stand in reverence and reading of God's Word, if you're able to. I want to read verse 4 to verse 8. God gave me something here, I promise you. As your pastor has well put it, first thing I noticed from preachers when I started preaching was he said, there's nothing new that you'll preach, and I believe that. But I think it's things that we hear over and over again that get retained in our heart and mind, that when something happens and God scotches that fire in our soul, we can just stand up and shout and rejoice. So I pray that this is a blessing to you. All I want to do is be obedient to God. Ezekiel 16, verse 4. If you found your place, say amen this morning. Bible says, and as for thy nativity in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee. Probably the saddest words in the Bible, I believe. To do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, that's shouting ground whether you know it or not, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. God will be my helper today. I want to preach. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm one of His. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, kind Lord and Savior, God, we thank You, Lord, for what we've felt thus far. God, I believe with all my heart You've laid this message on my heart for someone here today. God, I pray, Lord, You'd anoint my lips. Hide me, Lord, behind Your cross. God, let what is said here, God, edify the body, Lord, and lift up Your glorious name. God, for a few moments, I just want to share, God, what You've shared with me. God, I pray there'd be one that's lost, God, they'd come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's a Christian, Lord, out of Your will, God, that You'd bring them back. God, if there's one that's struggling, Lord, that's defeated, God, I pray You'd give them victory today. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I come to get help. I come to get a blessing from God. And when I look in this scripture here in Ezekiel chapter 16, no doubt it's talking about a baby that is left in an open field. It's cast there. And I want to begin by telling you this. I understand that Ezekiel 16 is the prophecy of the nation Israel, okay? Can you shake your heads with me? I get that. I understand what that means. But I couldn't help when I looked at these verses and studied this text. I couldn't help but think when I looked at Ezekiel 16... that the way God found Israel, the way God forgave Israel, the way God favored Israel, and the way He flourished Israel is the same thing He did for me the day that I knelt down and gave my heart to Him. Aren't you glad when you got saved that I'm glad He found me, aren't you? I'm glad, hey, He forgave me, amen? I'm glad that He flourished me, and I'm, hallelujah, I'm glad He saved. But when I look at these verses, I cannot help. I know the literal interpretation is Israel. But as I look at these verses, I cannot help but see a spiritual application of everybody who's ever been saved. This is about how it happens. Now, I understand it may be a different place. You may have had a different set of circumstances, but it's all the same that Jesus passed by our way, found us where we were in our filthiness, picked us up, and put our feet on a solid ground. It's all the same. But listen to me. The greatest day for me was not when I got married. The greatest day for me was not when my children were born. Greatest day for me, Brother Cal, is not when God called me to preach. It wasn't when I was called to pastor a church that I dearly love. The greatest day of my life is when I accepted Jesus Christ. Because without that beginning, none of this would be possible today. So we got to get back to the foundation. So if you look at this spiritual application, and you understand and you can agree if you're saved, the greatest day of your life is when you met the Lord. I believe it hasn't always been that way. But if you can say, hallelujah, I'm one of His. There are some things that took place that we find in Ezekiel 16 that we can give an application that I pray that blesses your soul. Number one, when He passed by me, He saw my need. Look at verse 6 here. Bible says, and when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now, no doubt in this scripture, there's no coincidence in the text that says, when He passed by. You have to understand what's going on with this child. This child was born into sin. Its mother was one nationality, and its father was another race and nationality. And under the transgression of the law, that was not supposed to take place. So like many do when they are found in their trespasses and sin, instead of dealing with it, what they do is this. They cast it out in the open field and hope nobody sees what's going on or what's happened and think everything's okay and they can go on their way. But here in these verses, this baby was found deprived, was it not? It was in depravity. It was covered in its own blood. There was no favor in this baby that was to be found. It is a picture of despair and helplessness, if I've ever seen one. When you look at its conception and its condition, there is no doubt without someone coming by and helping this baby would surely die. So if we see that and understand that, you could honestly say with me, it was in a bad condition, was it not? Listen, that baby couldn't get to that guy if he wanted to, could he? That passerby, he couldn't say anything. Even if he wanted to in his heart, soul, and mind, he could not do nothing. But there was nothing favorable about that baby either. There's nothing favorable in the eyes of that baby when we read this text to you and me. But aren't you glad it was favorable to somebody? Aren't you glad that it was found favorable in the eyes of God? Look at what your Bible says. When He passed by, what does it say? It was a time of love. Meaning this, when He passed by, this passerby, it's Jesus, by the way, in case you haven't figured that out. When He passed by, the world didn't see what Jesus saw. Your mom and dad may have not seen what Jesus saw. Your grandma and grandpa may have not seen what Jesus saw. Listen, the church may have not seen it. A politician probably didn't see it either. Say amen right there. He saw what your spouse maybe didn't see. He saw you and I that we could have the possibility to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. So He passes by. And as a child of the living God, the Bible says when He passed by, He not only saw the need, He fixed the need. Did He fix your need? He fixed mine sitting right over there about 5 minutes ago. Hey, listen, you think you're the only people that come in with burdens and problems? I got news for you. Preachers do too. And when I got to take a trip down memory lane, I remember the same God that helped my grandmother through cancer, that helped my grandmother through blindness, that helped my grandmother through the loss of her daughter and the loss of her husband, that still she could stand and praise God, is the same God that I'm serving today. So if He can fix her need, guess what? He can fix mine and yours too. So with that in mind, think about this. It's the same way with Jesus in our church when He passes by. He sees our need. And listen, He can fix our need. I can't help but remember when He passed by me. It was in July this month. I was in Pennsylvania. I was a 4-year-old boy. And let me tell you something. Just because you travel with a group of singers that sing for the Lord doesn't mean you're all caught up in it either. Amen. I was 4 years old and I really didn't think nothing about the Lord. I really wasn't paying attention to service as a 4-year-old boy. I had some cookies and Crayola crowns and that was good enough for me. Amen. But there was something that preacher said that just caught me. And I'll never forget when the Lord started dealing with my heart at the age of 4. I put down the cookies. I put down the crowns. I got out of my seat and I walked down to the altar. What I'm saying is, one day when I wasn't looking for Him, bless God, He was looking for me. And when He found me out there in the open field, bless God, He took me up. He established my going. He set my feet on a solid rock. And for that I can say, I'm glad I'm one of His this morning. Bless God. But listen to this. It's not just what this passerby saw. It's what he said. Get a hold of this. Now, I didn't catch this until I read this over and over again. I'm slow. You notice what he said here? He said the one thing to that baby needed for him to say to get out of his circumstance and situation. That one word, you ready for it? You see it there? Live. But it's great that he said it once, but it's even better that he said it twice. Now, I told you the first time I got saved, I was born to my mom and my dad, Sandra and Willie Beauchamp in Tepper Forest. That's when I lived the first time. But when he said live again, that's when he really meant business with me. That's when the need that I really had got fixed. He said not live once, but he said live twice. And I'm trying to be dignified and move through my points, but I can't help but get to the point and keep going back to it. He came to me. He came to where I was. Found me in my trespasses and sin. And he fixed me. Can I tell you, he loves you this morning. He loves you enough to send his son to die on the cross of Calvary. So he not only saw my need. Number two, he saw my nakedness. Look at verse 8. When you look at verse 8, very plain what's going on there. When he passed by and he looked upon him, he said it was a time of love and he spread his skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. So he not only fixed my need when I knelt at the altar, he covered me. Now, you read your Bible, you know where I'm going. I'm getting happy goosebumps already. See, nakedness in the Word of God is a picture of guilt and shame. If you look in Genesis 2, it's amazing to me in verse 25, the Bible says they were naked and they were not ashamed. But 7 verses later, they were naked and they were ashamed. What happened? Sin happened. Guilt and shame. Anytime you see nakedness in the Word of God, it is a picture of guilt and shame. When you look at Exodus 20, when Moses was going up to the altar, God said, don't come to thy nakedness. Cover it before you come up thereupon in. Said, I don't want to, and let me tell you this, it's still the same today. Amen? We need to cover up. We need to be different. Amen? Listen, if he fixes your need, you're his child, and you should do what he says to do. How he says to do it. Nakedness is still guilt and shame today. So what I see here is, not only did he fix the need, but he found him in his nakedness and he covered me. Now, I want you to get this. There's some things that this passerby Jesus did right. He took away the shame, but it's how he did it that really got a hold of me this morning. Listen, the only way that baby could be covered is if the passerby became uncovered. Stay with me now. Stay with me. I want you to get this point because it really struck me here. The only way the baby could get rid of its past life in its desperate hour of need was if that man took the guilt away. Business about to pick up. I don't know if you know it or not. Listen to me. When he covered that baby, in essence, what he was saying, I will take what no one else desires. I will take what no one else wants. I will take the unlovable, and bless God, I'll love it. And how did he do that? He had to uncover himself so you and I could be covered. Can I fast forward a few years from Ezekiel to the New Testament? You remember that place called Dark Calvary? You remember the nail-pierced hands and feet? You remember the crown of thorns? You remember the beatings and the lashings? You remember the piercing? You remember Jesus hanging on the cross? No one ever talks about that when he hung in our guilt and our shame, bless God, he hung naked for you and for me. So in order for us to be clothed, he had to become naked. Bless God. He took away my nakedness. He came to me, took what I had, and gave me something I didn't even deserve. What most people forget about is that he hung naked. He took away my need. He took away my nakedness. Number three, when he took those two things away, there's a progression in this text. I never noticed it before until last night. There's some things he's got to take away in order he can give you some other things. So he takes away some things and he gives you other things. This is where the switch takes place. He fixed my need. He covered my nakedness. And number three, he gave me something. And that was by that skirt. He gave me a new name. Listen to this. When you look at that term skirt, anytime you see that, that is literally a covenant that you and I are making. If you look at Ruth chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9. What you will find is Ruth is coming before Boaz and she says, spread your skirt over your handmaid. Now, the guys, we're not wearing skirts today and they didn't back then, okay? But what that was his cloak. And by placing that cloak over whatever it was he placed it over, that meant that he was saying, that is mine. I am claiming that thing. Now with Ruth and Boaz, Ruth was claimed by Boaz because he did that. But for you and I, Jesus said, I'll take what no one else wants. I'm claiming you. You are mine. You are not alone anymore. It doesn't matter if you don't have a mom and daddy. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Bless God, when Jesus took you, he took it all. And he gave you everything. That's why I can't get dignified in Columbus, Ohio. That's why every time I come into the house of God, I remember where I was and where he brought me from and that he covered me and that he loved me and that he wants to bless his child. Listen to me. He gave me a new name. When I accepted Christ, my sin no longer defined me. I was defined by my Savior. I'm not the name sinner no more. I'm the name saint. He gave me a new name, a covenant that he made. He's literally coming into agreement with this child. He's saying, I'm claiming you. Now, in Ruth and Boaz's situation, when the covenant, when the skirt was thrown over, that was a marriage covenant. But right here, if you study it, what you'll find is this. This is a flat-out adoption. I can see him in that field looking around, nobody there. Baby's bloody, messy, crying, probably down to its last breath in the sun. No mom and dad around there, no grandma and grandpa to swoop it up and take it home and take care of it. He just looks down there and says, I'll take you. I'll take you. I love you. I don't care what sin you've done in the past. You're mine now. You got a new name. Listen to me. What he's saying here in essence, and I wrote these down in terms. What in essence he is saying is you can't have that baby no more. What he's saying is no one can claim that baby no more. What he's saying is I've entered into an agreement with that child, and that child is mine and mine forever. Get a hold of this now. That child would not have to grow up and wonder, who's my mom and my dad? That child wouldn't have to grow up and say, why didn't anybody love me? I'm about to have a fit. I don't have to sit here and tell you what's going on because it happened in your life. If you're a child of God, it doesn't have to look around and say, who's my name? What's my name? Where did I come from? All you got to remember is the day you knelt down and gave your heart to Jesus Christ. And you got a new name. Revelation talks about it, does it not? On a white stone, says we all got a new name. I don't know what that new name is. Someone says it doesn't mean that. Listen, I don't care what, who, or whatever. I don't want to focus on what name I have. I want to give glory to the one who gave it to me. For that, I'm glad I'm one of His. Listen to me. I'm glad I'm His child. We got two couples in our church that adopted children. And one was a close relative of mine, and they found out they couldn't have children, and they didn't know what to do. Matter of fact, I didn't know this till recently. My grandma walked up to Lisa and said, you're going to have a baby. It's just not the way you think. And she just walked off, didn't say another word. And guess what happened? Jeff and Lisa Price flew 22 hours to China and picked up a little baby girl who just graduated this past year, by the way, and loves the Lord like you wouldn't believe. And I said, Jeff, tell me about that adoption. He said, well, Sean, it was touch and go. He said, one minute we'd think we'd have her, and the next minute we didn't know if we would. He said, we'd go see these people who are trying to do all this paperwork. And we'd have stacks of paper this high, and we'd have to sign off. We didn't even know if we was going to get her or not. And he said, I'll never forget when we showed up there and we got that baby. He said, I didn't really feel secure until I got home and knew she was mine. But he said, this is what caught me. And both of those parents and both of those adoptions, this is what they said, the connecting point. They said, the lawyer said right before we signed the last piece of paper, when you do this, know one thing. That baby is yours forever, and nobody can take them from you. You sign the name on the paper, and that baby was theirs. Do you know it's the same way with Jesus Christ? Do you know when you were found in destitute and despair? Do you know when no one wanted to love you or cared about you? Anybody ever feel alone here or depressed sometimes? Don't you know that God loves you and He specifically made you for a purpose and a reason? And all He wants to do is cover you up and give you a new name. Bless God. When I said yes to Jesus, things of this world didn't mean anything because I got a new name. And I'm glad I'm covered, by the way. So He took away some things and He gave me some things. One was a new name. The second thing He gave me was a cleansing. Now I like the progression of this text because it says He took the baby first, then He cleaned it. You can try and get all cleaned up you want and think you're approachable to the throne of God. You need to come as you are. Amen. You just come as you are, and I think a lot of times we get this thing backwards. If we dress the part and act the part, then we'll be the part. No, it happens down here. Amen? He said He gave me a cleansing after the covering. Look at verse 9. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Listen to this. Can you see that baby? It's out in the field, and all of a sudden, it's by itself and never known the warmth of a mother or a father. And here, this passerby just picks him up. What I'm saying is it felt a presence like it never felt before. Something different was going on in its life that would change it forever. That baby's there and that baby's dirty. That baby's filthy. And here, this passerby just starts cleaning him up. I want to share something with you. Me and my wife have three children. I love them to death. But I noticed with her first pregnancy, this is what took me back to, Brian. I noticed that when my wife was pregnant, she'd want to watch all those shows when people would deliver their babies. I don't want to watch that. She did. So I watched a few episodes with her. And on TV, you know, it's not real life. They doctored up a little bit. And I noticed when they brought that baby out, it always had little supple skin and little bow in its hair. It was quiet. And it was sleeping. It was so perfect and pretty. When our children were born, that wasn't the picture I got. I mean, reality set in. That baby come out and it's screaming, it's crying, it's mucusy, it got a football head. I'm looking thinking, what in the world is that? That's mine? But here's what I noticed with each one of my kids. They let us have our mommy and daddy moment. And here a nurse would come and grab that baby and she would go to another room. And she'd have a washcloth in one hand. She'd have a little bit of water in the other. And when that baby come back, guess what? It wasn't dirty no more. It was all clean. Do you know that's the same way when you get saved? Listen, you don't get saved. This is what I believe is happening. I heard this quote and I thought it was very appropriate. Christianity, we've got people to buy into it, but not sell out to it. And what we need is this, a bunch of people that are claiming to be what they say they are. And be what you say you are. And when you come in on Sunday morning shouting, don't go into work on Monday cussing, amen? Don't be something here that you aren't out in the world. He came by to where you were. He picked you up. He put you on your feet. He gave you a new name. He covered you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now He's wanting to clean us up. He's wanting us to be different. But this is what I noted here. He doesn't make a covenant with this baby just to save the child. He makes a covenant with this baby to deliver the child. He didn't just want to save it. What I'm saying is, God's with you for the long haul. He didn't want to change his present situation and lifestyle. He wanted to change it forever. So here's what I'm saying to you. If you know what it's like to be cleansed and you can't give a war hoop for Jesus like this sister over here, let me remind you of some things, okay? Before He passed by, you were an alcoholic. But then He cleansed you, delivered you from that. And that's why you have shouting ground this morning. Listen, you may have been a drug addict before He passed by and cleansed you. But since then, you've got cleaned up. Jesus is in your heart. That is worth shouting ground right there. Listen, He just doesn't want to save you from hell. He wants to save you, clean you, so you can help someone other get to the Lord. Get with me now here. You don't do what you used to do when you're clean. You don't go where you used to go when you're clean. You don't talk like you used to talk. When you get clean. Here's why. It's because the one that passed by is wanting you to act and be like He is. Because you're His child. And when you're His child, you don't do what the child of the devil does. But when He washed some things, He got some things off in order to reveal other things. Now this is what I like about this whole text. Said He gave him some oil. This is most likely olive oil is what they're talking about. And it has that perfume fragrance. You've heard it preached about several times. And what I'm saying is this. When you're one of His, people around you will know it. Moses went to the mountain with God. What did it say? Man, his face come back. He was shining, wasn't he? I used to work cattle for a living. And I'd put in 18-hour days easy. And it was a rare day that my wife wanted to go out with some of her friends. And I was in charge of taking care of one kid, our middle child. And I wasn't around him that much. Brian, he was little. I'd work and he'd see me odd times of the day and night. And so I heard him playing with his toys. I went in the living room and watched some TV. How many of you know that when you don't hear your kid for about 20 minutes, that's a bad thing? Yeah. I didn't know that. And I thought, oh, Lord, my son. So I walk into his room, and man, he could climb like a monkey when he was a kid. He climbed up into his crib, climbed from his crib to his dresser, and on the other side of his dresser, there was some Vaseline there. He was covered from head to toe. I'd pick him up, and he'd slip right out like a grease pig. He'd say, Daddy, look. And then he'd try and eat the stuff. Hey, that's her kid, not my kid. But here's what I noticed. No matter what I did, Brother Cal, he was so shiny, I couldn't get it off of him. Do you know that's the same way when you meet Jesus Christ? No matter where you go, hey, what did the Apostle Peter do? Everywhere he went, they said, no, you're one of his. You can cuss all you want. I see through all that stuff. You're one of his. You can act like you're somebody else's or you're one of our party, but you stick out like a sore thumb. And I say hallelujah to God. I'm glad when people tell me that. Call you a Bible thumper. Bless God. Hallelujah. Yes, I am. Believe when God changes you, He changes you on the inside as well as the outside. What I'm saying is you'll shine for Him. And the world will see a difference. And I'm closing here. I had a need and He filled it. When I got saved, He covered me by uncovering Himself. Then He gave me a new name. And He gave me a cleaning. And last in this text, verse 10, He gave me clothing. When you read verse 10, the thing that caught me about this as I was studying eschatology, what they'll say is all these ornaments you see here in this chapter, you can find in the temple of God. And when you look at all those ornaments and all those fixtures, I think a lot of times when we read the Bible, you read it for yourself, you go on through there. I mean, God, I mean, buddy, makes this baby shine. And I know this is Israel. And I know what he's saying is he takes them from immaturity to maturity. And here's why it is so important to be at Sunday school. Here's children, why it's so important to go to camp. Parents, this is why it's important to bring your children to church instead of the baseball game. Amen. We got the problem where we are. That's all right. God will come through. This is why it's so important to keep your kids in church and to keep your family in church. It's to give God glory when it's all said and done. Listen to this. Verse 10, he says, I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. When you look at all those jewels, you go through all that. There's flour, there's linen, there's silk, there's honey, there's oil, there's gold and silver, there's jewels, there's earrings. You go all through this, and what it is God's decking out this baby. Now, I'm going to give you one more story, and I'm done. And it goes back to my children. My wife, anytime she would go to the grocery store, she would want to take our youngest son, our firstborn. And she'd be going to the grocery store for an hour, but she'd take about 10 changes of clothes. And by the way, if it says 0 to 30 days, they only have 30 days. You don't need to buy them 300 outfits, amen? Let that sink in. But I'm a guy, right? So I'm thinking, when she'd leave, a pet peeve of mine, Cal, was, why are you taking 10 outfits to make a one-hour run to the grocery store? And here's what she would tell me. Well, if the baby gets anything, I want to clean it up. And I want to make. I said, you just go into the grocery store. But here's what I didn't know, because obviously I'm not a woman. She was afraid that if she met somebody at the grocery store, that her baby wouldn't be looking as proper as it should. And it wouldn't be looking pretty as it should. It would take the focus off the child and put the focus on the stain. Right. Right. And what God is saying right here, I'm decking you out so not only the world can see, but the devil that used to have you, when you bless God, when you go to the house of God, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to shine you right in front of the devil and say, looky there, big boy, look what you used to have and made miserable. Now I've got this child and it's shining for me. Bless God. He loves you and me. He died for you and me. He clothed us in our nakedness. He fixed our need. He did what no one else could do. He just wants to lift you up and say, look at this. Look, devil, at what you could do nothing with. And look how they're shining for me today. You know who I think of? You know him. Henry Martin. When I read this and studied this, there's a fella in Tampa, Florida. I've known him my whole life. Got saved the year I was born. His name is Henry Martin. And he'll tell you he used to be the biggest drunkard there ever was. He said, I would work in a dump truck all day. When I'd come home, I expected my wife to not only buy my beer, but to have it in the refrigerator and have it cool down. And if she didn't, there was going to be trouble at my house. He said, so one day I was riding down the road. He said, and God started dealing with me. See, Henry had a need. Henry said, I couldn't take it no more. He pulled off on the side of I-4. Got out at a marker, knelt down, and Jesus put his skirt over him. He got back in that truck. He drove home. This is the truth. This is his life story. He drove home, and when he walked in the house, he said, hello. He'd never done that before. Said he walked straight to the fridge, grabbed all the beer in the house, went to the sink, started pouring it down the sink. He got cleaned up. And when he gets the opportunity, he will stand in church to this day. After all those years, after his wife has passed away, he'll still stand in church. And this is what he'll sing. But the greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saved me. Yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Every time till God calls me home, him home, or both of us home. Every time he sees that song, you know what I'm going to think of? God taking him and shining him in front of that devil. Saying, this old drunkard that you thought you had, look how he shines for me. I think it'd be appropriate to end this sermon with this song. Oh yes. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I who was wretched and poor now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Are you glad you're one of His this morning?